Welcome. This is Signal. Talbot's Fancy Meats by Ian Paton. 1. Talbot's Butchery was one of the oldest buildings in Old Town, New Westminster. It was built by one George Talbot, who immigrated to Canada from Northern Wales in the late 1800s. There were rumors of a dark family past, stories of grisly murders that took place in the centuries-old Talbot Manor House. But many who immigrated to the New World were escaping a gruesome past of their own, so no one gave the tales much of any concern. George used to say, and most people agreed, "Secrets are often best left that way." And since George seemed like a right good chap, and his cuts of meats were always superb and inexplicably always on sale, the best cuts of meat in Old Town, no one was inclined to investigate the salacious details further, as in Old Town, the sort of curiosity that snooped into someone's past was considered very bad form indeed, and was an excellent way to get yourself ostracized by the community at large. George Talbot had used the profits from the sale of the Welsh Manor House to buy the land and raise his establishment. The brick and stone building was completed in the spring of 1902. The main floor housed the butcher shop, while the upper story was the family residence. Currently, the store was operated by Michael Talbot and his wife Maria. Michael Talbot was the grandson of old George. The business was passed on to him by his father Arthur Talbot, who inherited it when old man Talbot died. There were rumors that old George Talbot had dug a secret tunnel under his building, and the local legend was that there was a vault deep underground filled with Spanish treasure. When the old man died suddenly, an inspection of the building revealed that there was indeed, under the foundations, a long, straight, brick-lined tunnel with massive oak iron-banded doors on either end. Both doors were locked with heavy steel padlocks, the key to which old man Talbot always kept on a chain that was attached to his belt. When the inner door was opened, it revealed a 10-foot by 10-foot by 10-foot underground vault. The vault was lined with brick, the same brick that lined the tunnel. The floor was smooth granite. In its exact middle, inlaid into the granite, was a polished brass pentagram 5 feet from point to point, and above each point were inlaid in silver what the local parish priest, Father Francis, called sigils. No one in the group knew what a sigil was, and Father Francis did not elaborate, but told the assembled investigators it would be best if he took the key for safekeeping. He would personally give it to George's son, Arthur Talbot, who had been willed the property and business when he arrived from Northern England. A few days after Arthur Talbot's arrival, Father Francis was found dead of an apparent heart attack, and despite the look of horror mingled with terror on the dead priest's face, the death was declared natural. These days, the massive doors were locked with their equally massive padlocks, and the chained key that opened them never left Michael Talbot's pocket. Every once in a while, the old rumors would surface, and Michael Talbot would laugh out loud at the idea of gold doubloons in the cold room where he hung his cured meats. He put the eldritch-like decorations in the curious vault down to old man George's ridiculous and childish obsession with the occult, which Michael always described as utter bloody nonsense. There was, however, one curious tradition that Michael Talbot kept, just to honor old grandpa, he'd say. On the day of a full moon, Talbot's Fancy Meats always closed at noon. 2. Jimmy Duke had been a B&E artist, but found that he loved scaring and then beating the shit out of old homeless people even more. Watching them moan and scream and cry as he put a boot to their ribs was a warm sunny day in the park for Jimmy. What he loved most of all was the terror his good old goblin straight razor induced as he tapped it on a wrinkled cheek just below some useless old prick's eyeball. He hadn't sliced an eyeball in two yet, at least while his victim was alive. He was saving that treat for some old piece of shit homeless fuck who decided to talk back and disrespect him. Oh yeah, he had all sorts of amputations planned for that eventuality. He really hoped it was an old couple. That was his dream. The old man, sprawled on the floor with a broken back, would watch as Jimmy and his goblin straight razor went to work flaying his pleading, screaming, old wrinkled bitch wife. Jimmy had a Glock 9mm, but he never needed it. His MO was simple and efficient and worked every time. Get them into the van with promises of food and a safe, warm place to sleep, and offer them a coffee from his thermos. And 5 minutes later, thanks to the nice warm truck and the Rohypnol, his victim was unconscious. When they woke up, they found that the isolated cabin Jimmy Duke had taken them to had neither food nor a warm bed. It was the slaughterhouse where Jimmy Duke had his fun, and when Jimmy's fun was over, the coyotes took care of any evidence. It had been a glorious year, but lately Jimmy Duke was getting a little bored. Old homeless people were just too easy a mark. He wanted something that was more of a challenge, more dangerous. Perhaps a younger couple, some successful middle-aged piece of shit and his wife, and the day Jimmy Duke, for the first time in his life, walked into Talbot's Fancy Meats for the smoked ham and salami, he felt his prayers had been answered. In fact, the poetry of slicing and dicing two middle-aged butchers, the married couple who stood behind the counter, almost made Jimmy cry tears of joy. Jimmy had actually wandered into Talbot's Fancy Meats because he had heard about the tunnel and the room at its bottom where Michael Talbot hung his hams to cure. And sure enough, hidden in an alcove at the back of the store, was a massive oak door banded with iron.
"That's one heck of a big door you got in the back," said Jimmy with a big friendly smile as he stepped up to the till to pay for his salami.
"Yep, they tended to build 'em big and heavy 100 years ago,
said Michael.
"I've heard at the bottom there's a room with bags of gold,"
said Jimmy with a bigger smile. Michael laughed.
"Well, that's one I haven't heard in a while."
And as he handed Jimmy Duke change for a 20, he said,
"By the way, if you'd like to try it, my very best beef jerky will be ready tomorrow. But tomorrow night is a full moon, so we'll be closing at noon."
When Michael saw the odd look Jimmy Duke gave him, he said with a smile of his own,
"I know. It's a weird company tradition, started by my grandpa. He started it, and we've just kept it to honor the old man."
"We like tradition in this house," said Maria Talbot, who had been closely watching Jimmy Duke from the moment he stepped into the store. In fact, Michael still shaves with a straight razor. It's an antique goblin razor, isn't it, Michael?
"Indeed,"
said Michael,
who was now looking at Jimmy with a very slight grin.
Or was it a sneer? 3. When Jimmy left the store, he knew these two were not only going to die, they had to die. How the fuck could they have known what he did for fun? Nobody knew, for fuck's sake. He had been very careful, very clever, and yet somehow these two complete strangers seemed to have found out. Was mentioning the goblin razor just a coincidence? Jimmy didn't think so. And the look Michael Talbot had given him said it was no coincidence at all. And somehow, he thought, they know. he decided he needed to act, and soon. Tomorrow, he thought, I'll take a few tools from my B&E days and quietly break into Talbot's fancy meats. And this time, he thought, I'll take the Glock 9mm for a bit of silent persuasion. The best way, he thought, to get them into the tunnel and into the curing room is to hold the gun to Maria Talbot's head. When they were safely in the room, he'd shoot Michael in the back, paralyzing his legs, and while he lay on the floor and watched, completely helpless, Jimmy Duke would go to work on his bitch wife. It was 10 p.m. and dark. The moon hadn't risen yet when Jimmy Duke parked his van on the now deserted street 2 blocks east of Talbot's Fancy Meats. He made his way down the back alleys until he was standing in front of the back door. In one pocket he carried his Glock, and in the other he carried his pick-lock gun. He opened the door with practiced ease, like riding a bicycle, he thought, as he very quietly moved into the delivery room at the back of the shop. Jimmy stood still as stone, listening hard, and he thought he heard quiet voices from the front of the store. He very carefully crept closer and heard them speaking. He's the one, all right. Did you see that son of a bitch's face when I mentioned the goblin razor? Said Maria. Sure did, said Michael. Did you get that from Burgo? Yep, said Maria. We'll notify the cops tomorrow. Jimmy Duke smiled a lizard smile and made a mental note to find out who the fuck Burgo was before killing these two. 4.
Hey, bitches. Guess who, you two fucks? Said Billy as he walked into the room and pointed his Glock directly at Maria Talbot's face.
Maria Talbot gasped, and Michael stared wide-eyed, stopped chewing, and dropped the sandwich he was eating.
What the hell? Said Michael.
Shut the fuck up, said Jimmy. Now, I want to see this famous ham curing room of yours.
He walked up to Maria and put the Glock to her forehead.
Right fucking now,
he growled. Michael was shaking.
Oh, okay, okay. No problem. Just please. Shut the fuck up. Pull that key out of your pocket and open the door, asshole.
Michael was shaking so badly he could barely fit the key to the lock. Finally, the hasp clicked open.
Good, said Jimmy. Now you go down, and when you open the door at the bottom, I want you to lie face down on the threshold.
Michael didn't move fast enough. So Jimmy smashed the butt of his pistol right onto the bridge of Michael's nose, and Michael went down with a groan. Maria whimpered, and Jimmy put the barrel of the Glock against the back of her skull.
Shut the fuck up, bitch, or I'll blow your head off right here and now.
He looked down at Michael.
Get up and start walking now.
At the bottom of the dimly lit tunnel, Michael did as he was told. He opened the door and he lay down on the cold brick. Then Jimmy pushed the gun into Maria's back.
Right, in you go, bitch.
And he put a bullet in the back of Michael Talbot and pushed Maria into the middle of the dimly lit vault. When he saw the vault, Jimmy whispered to himself,
fucking perfect. No one will hear screams coming from down here.
Maria stood shaking in the corner of the room as Jimmy dragged the moaning and gasping Michael into the vault and closed the door. Then Jimmy looked around, and instead of hanging hams, he saw a bare room with a brass star embedded in the floor and some squiggly silver-looking stuff over each point.
What the fuck is this weird shit?
He thought, but then thought,
fuck it. Time to get down to business. First thing I want to know is who is Burgo, and where do I find him? You tell me right now, bitch, or I'll blow your hubby's head off.
And to emphasize the point, he walked up to Maria with his goblin razor and sliced open Maria's right cheek.
Jimmy was pleased. He could see her teeth. The last thing in the world Jimmy Duke expected then was to watch Maria spit gouts of blood and at the same time laugh so hard she looked like she was going to cry. And then he saw Michael, the Michael he had just beat the shit out of and shot, stand up with ease and grace, the only seeming injury being blood splatter on his shirt. He was also laughing his ass off. Michael walked up to Jimmy and handed him the bullet.
"That was intense. I haven't been shot in 20 years,
he said with a big grin on his face.
30,
smiled Maria as she removed her clothes and folded them neatly and stepped into the middle of the pentagram. And as she did, there was a loud whoomp, and suddenly the dimly lit room was filled with a spectral moonlight which emanated from the silver sigils. Jimmy Duke, mouth open, whispered, "What the fuck is this?" as he turned and faced Maria Talbot. Those teeth Jimmy had seen through the razor cut were now turning to long, needle-sharp fangs. Then Maria smiled, and as if she willed it, the slice made by the goblin razor healed in seconds without leaving a trace.
"Burgo is a good friend. He's a coyote that lives in the woods around your cabin. And you were right about this room, Jimmy Duke," said Michael with a sneer as he went back into the tunnel and locked the heavy oak and iron door. "No one can hear you scream."
Jimmy shit his pants as Maria Talbot attacked with grace and ease and eviscerated him with one swipe of her now 6-inch needle-sharp claws. Jimmy lived long enough to see his intestines uncoil and splatter out onto the floor and screamed bloody murder as werewolf Maria ripped the eyes out of his head and it all went dark. The next day, Michael hung a sign on Talbot's Fancy Meats front door that read, "Closed for stock taking. Open again tomorrow." Michael and Maria drank a nice Merlot as they made their special sausage. It would be fully cured in about 2 weeks. However, this special sausage, only to be found at Talbot's Fancy Meats, was just for them. The end.